Good morning to all of you. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be with you today. It's good to give thanks with you today on this day of Thanksgiving. And happy Thanksgiving to you as well. This morning we are going to be taking a look in God's Word at Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, we will be reading verses 22 through 27, the Aaronic blessing. And as you're turning there, page 135 in your pew Bibles, just a brief comment before we read this passage. Of course, today is a day where we typically count our blessings, a day where we perhaps sit around the table and share things that we are thankful for. We number those things and we relay those things to one another, and we are thankful to the Lord for those things. And wouldn't it be wonderful if there was just one thing we could count, just one single solitary blessing that we could number that would transcend all other things, that would just simplify things, that would cut through all of the things that we face in our world? Well, I trust we will see that one singular universal blessing as we take a look in this passage here this morning. So Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Let's pray together. Father, would you bless us in this time as we look to your word, as we look to the inscripturated word, but as we look to the resurrected and ascended and ruling and reigning word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that we might be blessed by him even this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, friends, as we gather and look around at our circumstances and our society and our culture and things that we are facing, we might be tempted to think today is a hard day to number all of our things to be thankful for. There are some things that are getting in the way and clouding thankfulness, and there are things that we can number that cause us discouragement, and things that we are facing that are troubling, and it might be challenging to feel the most blessed today or the most thankful. Again, as I mentioned before we read this passage, if only we had a universal, a transcendent blessing that would just cut through all of that, that would cut through all of the present difficulties, that would be unimpeded by our circumstances. Wouldn't that be really wonderful? But ours is a time of counting material blessing, often, isn't it? Ours is a time of seeing the things that we can touch and seeing the things that we can experience. And if that material, physical blessing, outward blessing is lacking, we feel as though blessing itself is lacking. But I trust we will see in our time that that is not the case, as the Lord is the one who declares and pronounces his blessing upon us. And as we take up this particular passage, it is as though a father is blessing his children. And we don't live in such a day and an age where people gather around the father, the head of the household, and the father lays his hands on his firstborn, or if he's a bit confused, maybe he crosses his hands and lays his hands on the wrong one. Well, not the wrong one. But anyway, we don't live in such a time, right, where we see these outward blessings like this. But thankfully, we do experience that week in and week out as the pastor raises his hands and pronounces the fatherly blessing from our Heavenly Father to us. And I trust we will see in our time together this morning that it is Christ's blessing that is being pronounced upon us. It is the firstborn son's blessing that is pronounced upon us week in and week out, that transcendent blessing. Well, as we take up the context of this passage, we might be tempted to just grow tired in our hearing of this particular blessing. It's something that we hear time and time again, and we don't necessarily think about its meaning. And we can come to believe that this blessing and other blessings like it, pronounced at the end of a worship service, is kind of like a divine, "That's all, folks." You remember, of course, Looney Tunes, when the stuttering Porky Pig at the end bursts through the drum and he lifts up his hands kind of in a benedictory type fashion and he says, "That's all, folks." And we can believe that that is what is taking place at the end of the service. Okay, we're done. The real blessing has already come. We're thankful for the meat of the word that has been brought forth. And that's just kind of a tack on as we're sent out into the world. Hopefully we have a blessed week. But I trust we will see that that is not what is the case. Instead, the Lord is commissioning here his priests, those whom he has tasked with this particular responsibility, this duty to pronounce his divine blessing upon his covenant people. Now, if we went back to Numbers chapter 4, verse 47, we would see that he is lining out the various responsibilities, the various duties to the various groups of people. And we see there that God says, from 30 years old up to 50 years old, everyone who could come to do the service of ministry and the service of bearing burdens in the tent of meeting, and then he goes on to number them out and to give them their particular charges. And this is the charge given to Aaron and his sons, the priestly line. So this is the divine blessing mediated through human agency as God declares this upon his people. But it's more than just duty, of course. This is a summary of all of the covenant blessings that has preceded and the covenant blessings that are to come. This is a summation of everything that the Lord would pronounce upon his people even as they are moving into the promised land and the land of blessing. This is the fullness of covenant blessing here. But it's also building upon a larger covenant narrative. Because after all, God's firstborn son, if we could use that phrase, but as Luke refers to him, Adam, God's son in the garden, had covenant blessings. And that was by a covenant of works. And yet Adam lost that covenant blessing by his failed works and received the covenant curses of that failed covenant of works. But then the blessing was promised once again to a new son, if you will, a promise to Abraham and all of his sons and his descendants, and by Abraham all of the peoples of the earth would be blessed. And then there's a robust heritage that we see through Genesis and leading up until this point of faithful fathers pronouncing their blessings upon their sons, especially the firstborn son. Well, unless, of course, you know, there's crossed hands, or unless, of course, there's some fuzz put on your arms so that you can cheat your father out of the firstborn son's blessing, or if the firstborn son just sold his birthright for some very disappointing stew. But anyway, there's this rich heritage, of course, of robust blessing of pronouncement upon the firstborn son. And then this here that we see is not a prayer. It's not as though the priests are praying, "May God bless you. I really hope that this would be the case." But no, it is a declaration. It is a promise that God will certainly do this. This is what God is committed to. It is what he is declaring to be so. Well, then let us consider the particulars of this blessing as we move through verses 24 through 26. We see at the outset, of course, "The Lord bless you." We don't hear this so much in our culture anymore as far as when people sneeze and you hear "bless you." It seems like it's going out of fashion, maybe for good reason. But we hear it flippantly, right? When people sneeze, "oh, bless you, God bless you, Lord bless you," whatever. Is this just a "Lord keep you healthy and keep you happy"? Is this what we really need to recover in this time of sickness and, you know, rampant pandemic or whatever the case may be? "Oh, Lord bless you," this type of just flippant "Lord keep you healthy and keep you happy" or something. No, this is divine favor according to the Lord's purposes, the Lord placing his divine favor upon his covenant people. "The Lord bless you and keep you. that the Lord would not lose a single one, that he would keep every single one of his children, that he would not let a single one go, that he would persevere his people to the end, that he would not allow a single lamb to be thrown alive into the lake of fire. After all, the Lord describes himself, especially in the Psalms, as the keeper of Israel. This is what he is committed to keeping Israel in covenant relationship with him, declaring himself to be his people's defender and protector, caring for his people, keeping his sheep. And he will never let a single one stumble to the point of being lost, save the son of perdition, as the scriptures promised and as was fulfilled. But no, if we could stumble ourselves to the point of being lost, surely we would have already done it. The Lord is promising he will keep us and persevere us to the end, all those who are in covenant with him. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you. At this point in the narrative of Scripture, who has seen the face of the Lord? Well, Moses, of course, has seen the back of the Lord, and yet he still shone in radiance so much so that he needed to be veiled before the people of Israel. This is a picture of the Lord's glory, the Lord's presence himself, his very being, his very presence shining upon his people. This same imagery shows up in Psalm 67 that we're going to sing in just a moment after our sermon. And the psalmist there is speaking as though this shining is like the sun tracing its course over all the earth and bringing bounty upon the earth. It's the Lord's warm, blessed presence with his people. The Lord bringing forth such fruitfulness in his people. The Lord taking pleasure in his people and delighting in his children. And as Zephaniah would put it, the Lord singing over his children. The Lord delighting so much so that his face would shine upon them. Friends, in a day and age where reputation is so important, and reputation points and likes and lots of interest in the things that we're saying and doing, and as personalities of politicians and actors and actresses care so much about reputation and following, it is so much more significant to see our reputation and what our Lord thinks of us and the Lord's face shining upon us, and that our honor rests with the Lord, as Psalm 62 verse 7 says. What is our reputation with the Lord, if you will? What does he think of us that he would make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to you? And be gracious to you. This is the Lord extending his grace, extending his undeserved blessing. And as we heard just this past Lord's Day, I thought this was ironic that Pastor Jeff preached on this just this past Lord's Day, and I had it in my notes even before he preached on it, and I thought, I've never heard him preach on this for the entire time I've been here, and just this past Lord's Day, he spoke of it. It shows the Lord working these things together. I'm not just stealing from him, but this is grace in light of demerit. It is not just his unmerited favor. It is his unmerited favor in light of demerit, what we have earned. We have not earned this blessing. We have earned covenant curses. And the Lord be gracious to you and make his countenance and lift up his countenance upon you. Well, in the 21st century, we don't talk about countenance. We don't say that word too often, do we? We don't think about people's countenance turning upon one another. But if you've ever been in conflict with someone, and this probably not happened very much at all, but if you've ever been in conflict with someone, it's hard to look them in the eye, isn't it? It's hard to turn to them. It's hard to look them full on and to turn your body in their direction and their body in your direction. Or maybe as you gather with extended family over these holidays, there's someone that you're on the outs with and you even think, I don't know what I'm going to say when I see that cousin or whatever the case may be. You feel a tension. You feel like there's a difficulty looking full in the face and turning toward them. And so this concept of countenance turning upon us as the Lord be lovingly reconciled to you, experience his union and communion and fellowship. This is the Lord turning His loving attention upon Israel as His chosen people, that He has placed His countenance toward Israel, and He only knows the other nations from afar, if you will. This is a special chosen relationship. And this is why it's so significant that then in Psalm 67, again, that we will sing in just a moment, that this blessing is extended not just to the particular people of Israel, but to all the peoples of the earth, as that psalm anticipates the gospel age of this blessing breaking forth beyond particular Israel. That it's too little for this to be only upon Israel. And all, if God were to hide His face, if God were to turn His countenance away, Israel would be hardened and suffer and perish. As took place, of course, in the captivity, as took place in the hardening, until the fullness of the Gentiles should come in. This is special covenant blessing to ensure the people's prosperity and endurance. And the Lord give you peace. Oh, friends, don't we need peace? Don't we want peace in our time, and sincerely peace in our time, and not peace where there is no peace? We want to enjoy rest. We want to enjoy well-being. But friends, this isn't just a generic peace. This is covenantal language. Two parties who were at enmity with one another now have peace because of a right covenantal relationship. There is true, lasting peace between God and His covenant people. And isn't it interesting that God describes Himself in such a way that He is a God of peace? Or Christ, the Prince of Peace, or the Spirit of Peace. That God is the God of all comfort and peace. This is how He wants to be known to His people, that He is a God of peace who gives us true peace. And then verse 27, so, in this way, so shall they put My name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. See, it's not a prayer. I will certainly do it. As I've promised, I will certainly do it. And this is one of the ways that He is stamping His people as His own. Not just circumcision and now in the gospel age, not just baptism, but every time we hear the proclamation of this blessing, it is a way that God is placing His stamp of ownership upon us. That we are under Him graciously. It is not an oppressive mark of subservience. It is not making us wear a symbol of docile servitude. But the way He places His name upon us is, you are My favored ones. You are My blessed ones. And it is an act that produces its desired result. It is truly a means of grace. It is not just a promise that will one day be fulfilled, but it is indeed a blessing in and of itself. Now, friends, when we hear such blessing pronounced upon us week in and week out, do we sit and hear with lazy ears and think, I've heard this time and time again, Pastor Jeff says the same thing every week? Or do we listen as though we're on the edge of our seat? I'm thankful that you have been so gracious and kind to designate the special offering today for the BCI. And I was thinking of Dr. George Scipione, the director of the Biblical Counseling Institute, as I was preparing for this sermon, now glorified and before the face of the Lord and enjoying this full blessing in its fullness there with the Lord. But anytime he would be benedicted upon, anytime he would receive the benediction, he was always in the back. And he would literally go like this. Bring it on. And if you know kind of just the way he carried himself, that's very much Skip. That's very much Doc. Bring it on. Is that how you receive the blessing? Lord, I need it. Bring it on. That's what I need. I need this transcendent, continual blessing. I need your name upon me week in and week out. I need the covenant renewal. I need to remember that I am forgiven in Christ, and this is who I am in Christ. Now, friends, I've already spoiled the punchline in that sense, right? But upon what basis can Israel receive this blessing? Upon what basis can we receive this blessing? After all, Israel's already shown herself to be disobedient and stubborn and stiff-necked. They will enjoy for a time the land of blessing and not cursing, but that's not long-lived, as we're hearing in our Jeremiah series. But how is it that this blessing could be pronounced upon them and upon us? Well, it's found in the fact that this is a blessing of the Father upon the firstborn son. As God calls Israel his firstborn son. In Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, it says this: "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." That's hearkening back from hearkening back to Exodus chapter 4, where God said to Pharaoh, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn son." And isn't it interesting that we see in that there's the cursing of one firstborn son, that there would be blessing of another firstborn son. And what we really find, friends, in the Scriptures is that there is a crossing of the hands. And the only reason that the firstborn son of Israel, or now the new Israel in the gospel age, can receive the blessing of the firstborn son is because the curse that we deserved has fallen to the true Israel, to the true firstborn son. As we see in Matthew chapter 2, God the Father referring to his son whom he called out of Egypt. "When Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son." The only way the covenant people of God can receive such a blessing as this is if it is Christ's blessing. And we've seen that as Elder Rice has already read from Matthew chapter 17 here this morning, that we heard the blessing of the true Son, the obedient Son, the faithful Son, as he was transfigured before he went to the cross, before he endured the curse of the covenant. We heard his blessing as the Lord's face shone round about him and the glory was on that Son, God's divine favor and proclamation, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. This is the blessed Son. This is the faithful Son." And we get a glimpse of the glory that Christ experiences now in his resurrection and ascension and enthroned glory. We get a glimpse of that in the vision, as Christ calls it, of the transfiguration. It's what he receives as he passes through the curse. And we know that of course, was on Christ's mind as he talked with Moses and Elijah about the exodus that he would accomplish in Jerusalem in the death of this firstborn son. And it's also interesting to see the way that God speaks of his favor upon this firstborn son in John chapter 10, that the Father loves the Son because he lays down his life for the sheep. You see, Christ perfectly endured and obeyed even to the point of death on the cross. And so we see that the Lord Jesus receives such faithful, merited blessing because he has perfectly obeyed at every point. But the only way that we could receive his blessing is if our cursing fell to him instead. And so isn't it interesting to flip the Aaronic blessing exactly on its head and to see that that is exactly what we earned, that is exactly what we merited, and that is exactly what Christ took for us. The Aaronic blessing: the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. But what fell to Christ? The Lord cursed him and forsook him. The Lord turned his face away from him. The Lord was wrathful to him, and the Lord's countenance was downcast and displeased with him, and the Lord gave him no peace. That's the Aaronic cursing, if we could put it that way, that we earned, that we deserved, that fell to Christ, that he might give to us his blessing. And then after his resurrection and all power and authority was given to him, he takes his disciples out to the mountain. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 50, he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he pronounces a blessing. He blessed them. And while he blessed them, it's the blessing is continuing as he's ascending, as he's being enthroned in continual blessing to his people, ruling and reigning from on high. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven. This is the Son who merited blessing. He freely gives it to his children who are in covenant with him. Friends, you know that you do not deserve the blessed Son's blessing. But you receive it because he freely gives it to you. And every time the pastor's hands that are not pure and unstained in and of themselves, right? Every time those hands are lifted to pronounce that fatherly blessing upon us, we must see that it is what Christ has accomplished. It is what Christ has done. The incredible cost that Christ has paid to pronounce such blessing upon us. Every single time the pastor raises his hands and pronounces this divine benediction upon us. And it is all because Christ traded, not for lentil stew, but traded, if you will, his birthright for your curse, that he might give you his birthright. Friends, every time this blessing is declared over you, every time it is placed upon your head as a father would be placing his blessing on the firstborn son's head, remember who you are in Christ as his children, that this is a reality because of the firstborn son's faithfulness that he has given to you and continues to give to you. Oh, that you would hear who you are in Christ every single week. Oh, that you would know what you have received in him. Oh, that you would know that this is a true means of grace and not just a hopeful expectation of the consummation, but it is a declaration that these things are so, will remain so, that he will continue to do these things even as he is doing these things, because it is Christ who has given you his blessing. Singular blessing. Let us count our blessing, if you will, this day. And if he has not withheld this blessing, if he has not withheld his only Son, will he not freely give us all things and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms? This is what Christ richly and freely gives you, saints. And this is what is declared upon you week in and week out. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for the faithful Son, the Lord Jesus. How we thank you that this blessing is not our blessing. It's Christ's blessing. But because we are in Christ, it is our blessing. Father, we do thank you for the blessing that you bestow upon him and that he bestows upon us, that you continue to proclaim upon us. Father, regardless of what we see as we look around with eyes of sight this day, regardless of the difficulties and the challenges that we might face, might we know and believe that we are truly a blessed people and blessed in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.